Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician of body and soul. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Juliana Krieger and this is Health Matters. This is the show that looks at the psychological, social and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. In a few moments, Dr. Andrew will be taking us through the more physical and practical implications. After the break, we are joined by Pastor Lynn Hansen, who considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. Doctor and Pastor also want to give guidance and comfort to the weary and burdened soul and to remind them that God is with them and for them no matter what comes their way. Today, we'll talk about the stressful condition of menopause. We welcome back Dr. Andrew, with whom we will be discussing the medical aspects of menopause. So, Doctor, one of our listeners is coming into her menopause. She has been feeling the heat waves, and she's asked you, what are the need-to-knows about menopause?
This lady, when she was between 8 and 12, usually, she had something called a menarche. She didn't know about it, but that was the start of it all. And the menopause is the end of it all. The end of her reproductive life, at least. And what will happen is that gradually, in those 10 years up to the date when her periods stop, her fertility will gradually drop. Certainly from the age of 35 and probably, and certainly definitely from 37, a woman's fertility drops dramatically and her ability to easily get pregnant disappears. One of the sadnesses of today's society, of course, is that ladies quite often decide that it's either have a job and a career or have children. And unfortunately, it is very difficult to do both well. And so they quite often put off their decision as to whether to have children until their late 30s, when in fact it is difficult to get pregnant anyway. But what happens is that gradually the eggs that are produced are of less good quality. And certainly their ability to have 13 fully fertilizable eggs per year is reduced, so that certainly towards the end only two or three cycles are viable. Quite often, as the estrogen and progesterone levels drop in the bloodstream, women will find that they get hot and sweaty. And of course, patients come to me and say, "Why am I having this? Why am I having these personal summers?" And the answer is their pituitary. The pituitary is an extension of the brain behind the eyes and back about 2 inches. It dangles down rather like a conker in its own little part of the skull. And it produces a number of hormones, very important hormones. And it's almost rather like the conductor of the hormones of the body. It makes us produce hormones that produce male hormone and female hormone, and hormones that deal with feeling better, and also the thyroid and other important parts of the body. Gradually, as the ovaries produce less hormone, the pituitary starts to send hormones out to produce that make the ovaries produce more. And of course, the ovaries can't do it, so the pituitary, in a hormonal sense, shouts louder, produces more and more floods of these hormones saying, "Come on, ovaries, wake up." But they can't. As a consequence of these hormones that are coming from the pituitary, called luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone, these hormones have a side effect in some ladies of producing dramatic sweats, panicky feelings. This is not certain that all women will have it, and in fact, probably only 25% of women have a menopause that is of significant discomfort. One of the facts, of course, is that you cannot stop having a menopause. It will happen. There are alternatives to hormone replacement therapy, which you can receive leaflets on, and these tend not to work terribly well. But one of the major mainstays of treatment for an unpleasant menopause is hormone replacement therapy. This is essentially replacing the estrogen and progesterone that you used to have. either by tablets, injections, hormones, or whatever, or patches, or whatever. Unfortunately, you have to understand that this is just putting off the evil day. That if you, at the age of 48, have an unpleasant menopause, you'd have hormonal replacement therapy. When you have to come off the hormone replacement therapy, somewhere between 55 and 58, really because you have to, because the increased risk of breast cancer from taking repeated amounts of female hormone, that your menopause will reoccur. And in many ways, it is probably better to have some hormone replacement therapy and then gradually reduce its dose over a year or so, so that your pituitary perhaps will react in a less violent way. Essentially, once the ladies got the other side of the menopause, what I see is that a lot of ladies have a better time than their male counterparts. Men are finding that their prostates are beginning to affect them, and all that goes along with that. But ladies no longer have the worry and concern of having periods every month.
How can a woman, if ever, prepare to have a less stressful menopause?
It's a very difficult question, because what one can see is that some patients who have previously led completely blameless medical lives and had no problems whatsoever have diabolical menopauses, and other ladies who you will think, good grief, they're going to be banging on my door, in fact don't. So, in fact, it seems to have no logical reason to it as to why some people have problems and others don't. I think actually accepting and realizing and understanding what it's about is quite important. And so I would recommend you see your GP and get some leaflets on the menopause so you understand the process. I think understanding can quite often help with panic and about the uncertainty of things.
It's obvious that the psychological dimensions are many. How hard is it for a woman to realize that she's suddenly come to the end of her reproductive life and will not be able to bear children anymore?
Women have got to the menopause at 50. An incredibly small percentage of those will be wanting to have children. But a lot of people aged 35 will be wanting to have children, and they need to realize that their opportunities are dramatically getting smaller in front of them. In a way, you're asking the wrong person. I'm a man. How do I understand what happens to women? Well, to a certain extent, all I can do is observe and see what happens. And the reality is that, as a woman, you know that beyond 50, you will not have children. Men beyond the age of 70 can have children. Just look at Charlie Chaplin, and many other people can have, many other men can have children later on in life. However, I think if you look at the way that our society is built, I suspect that the reason ladies are not able to have children beyond 50, whereas other mammalian species carry on their reproductive lives until they die, is because, surprisingly enough, we need the older lady who's got been there, seen everything, and has a reservoir of knowledge, and that knowledge can be useful for the rest of the tribe. I have to emphasize that the menopause is not a disease, it's a physiological normal event in a woman's life. And our job as doctors is to help people through it, not actually to prevent it.
Thank you, Doctor. Join us again after this break to find out about the spiritual struggles of women going through menopause from Pastor Lynn Hansen. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
The British Lutheran is the magazine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Published 6 times per year, it looks at topical issues as well as local and international Lutheran news. The magazine also provides a forum for viewpoints and opinions that help us all consider what following Jesus means today. If you would like a free copy of the British Lutheran, contact the ELCE Central Office in Cambridge on central@lutheran.co.uk and ask for a copy to be sent to you. The British Lutheran, the magazine of the ELCE.
Lutheran Radio News, an acute reading of what makes the news in the eyes of a Lutheran journalist.
Hi, this is Paul Hill. Join me every Friday on Lutheran Radio UK to find out what happens in and around the Lutheran Church.
Go to lutheranradio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Health Matters. We're with clinical chaplain Pastor Lynn Hansen from St. Paul, Minnesota. Pastor, what comfort can you give to women going through menopause?
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Let us begin with prayer. O Father of mercies and God of all comfort, our only help in time of need, look with favor upon your servants who suffer from afflictions to body, mind, and soul. Assure them of your mercy. Deliver them from the temptations of evil. Give them patience and comfort during their time of affliction, if it please you. Restore them to the fullness of health. Bestow your grace upon all, to accept their tribulations with courage and hope, through Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen. Every woman since Eve experienced menopause. Menopause is a natural life event and should not be glorified by fashion, taken as an insult, played upon, or ignored. Men must understand what is going on and to be tolerant. Women must take it in stride and not allow their moods to swing wildly. Both husband and wife must work together, as in all things, to maintain a harmonious and loving relationship as commanded by God. On our own, we cannot do this. With God's help, all things are possible. Let us turn to God's Word. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, beginning with verse 42. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that the power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Upon examination of the historical setting to this account, we see Jesus on his way to the home of Jairus. Jairus was a leader in the local synagogue. Jairus' daughter was gravely ill. Jairus asked Jesus to heal her. Whenever Jesus went about, crowds followed. This particular crowd was very thick. Peter said people pressed in on Jesus. As they walked, a woman who suffered some type of gynecological affliction managed to make her way through the crowd, getting close enough to touch the tassel of Jesus' robe. According to Professor Arthur Just from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to touch Jesus was a major concern for the woman. Four times in four verses, Luke recorded references to touching Jesus. The first, the woman. Second, Jesus' comment. Third, Peter's comment. And fourth, Jesus' second comment. What we must see in this focus on the touching of Jesus is a strong incarnational and Christological theme. That theme is this: that salvation and healing come from Jesus, who is physically present in the flesh. Jesus is the one from whom the power came forth. This woman must testify before all people that her healing came from contact with God, who came in the human flesh in the man Jesus. Luke recorded the woman touched a tassel on Jesus' robe. The purpose of tassels was so Israelites could remember to do all God's commands and be holy, even as God is holy. Jesus is the Holy One of God who came to redeem all people. Following the woman's confession of Jesus' mighty deed of healing, Jesus proclaimed, "Your faith saved you." The wording of this phrase is identical in other verses recorded in Luke. The woman rested in the peace first proclaimed by the angels at the birth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit brought the woman to faith. That faith grasped that God incarnate, God in the flesh of Jesus, freed her from the bondage of affliction. Today, Jesus comes to us. He comes to us during the church service. There we hear God speak to us as we speak back to Him through the liturgy. God comes to us through the waters of baptism, where we are marked and sealed as God's own children. God comes to us in the Lord's Supper, where we receive the very body and blood of Jesus in, with, and under the bread and wine. Just as Jesus came unto the afflicted woman, He comes to us. For those afflicted in body or mind or soul, I encourage you to call out unto the Lord, to reach out and touch the tassel of His robe. You do this through prayer and active membership in a Christian church. God hears all prayers of believers. God answers our prayers before we even utter them. By faith, we believe God gives unto us that which is best for us. Some will be healed. Some will remain afflicted. God tells us His ways are not our ways. In all things, we remember and give thanks that God promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, never to abandon us to the world. He remains with us always. We plead with Him to remove that which afflicts us. Most of all, we ask that He support and sustain our faith, that we persevere in that one true faith until life everlasting. May God give you the strength to bear your afflictions, knowing that He loves and cares for you always. Let us go unto the Lord in prayer. Holy God, holy and most gracious Father in heaven, hear our prayers. We come before You empty-handed and afflicted. We beg You to pour out Your mercy upon us. Provide for our daily needs, both physically and spiritually. You know that which afflicts us. You know how we suffer from disease and the negative effects of aging. If it be Thy will, remove that which afflicts us and restore unto us the fullness of good health. Bless us with a firm faith in You, knowing that whatever life brings, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will remain steadfast in that one true faith to life everlasting. Comfort all the afflicted. Grant them peace in knowing You love and care for them. Forgive us our sin and help us to forgive others who sinned against us. In all things, grant us Your peace. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May I encourage you to read the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth relates a beautiful historical account of some of King David's family. This book illustrates how God guides history for the sake of His people. At times, God works through suffering and affliction, doing what is best for those He loves.
Thank you. Please continue to send your comments, questions, and suggestions on our show to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is, as always, available for download from lutheranradio.co.uk. When you're there, take a look at our other shows and stay tuned. Goodbye to you and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK.
Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk.
And stay tuned.
All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.